All glories. Canto, chapter number 28. Chapter entitled, Puranjan Becomes a Woman in the Next Life. Text number 47. Atmanam sochati dinam abandum viklavas rubihi stanam vasichya vipine sushvaram prarurodasa. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki chai. Translation. Being now alone and a widow in that forest, the daughter of Vidarbha began to lament, incessantly shedding tears which soaked her breasts and crying very loudly. Puppet. Figuratively, the queen is supposed to be the disciple of the king. Thus, when the mortal body of the spiritual master expires, his disciple should cry exactly as the queen cries when the king leaves his body. However, the disciple and the spiritual master are never separated because the spiritual master always keeps company with the disciple as long as the disciple follows strictly the instructions of the spiritual master. This is called association of vani, words. Physical presence is called vapu. As long as the spiritual master is physically present, the disciple should serve the physical body of the spiritual master. And when the spiritual master is no longer physically existing, the disciple should serve the instructions of the spiritual master. So, with the permission of all the assembled Vaishnavas, we'll try to speak something on this beautiful purport of Srila Prabhupada. So, just to recap a little bit, we find that Narad Muni explaining to King Prachinibharishad about Puranjan has now come to a stage where Puranjan has left his body, and as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajati antakalevaram. Puranjan was thinking about a woman in his previous life, so he got the body of a woman in his next life, and he got birth as the daughter of the king of Vidarbha, Vaidarbhi. And she was married to Malayadvaj. Malayadvaj had one daughter and seven sons. And then his sons in turn got thousands and thousands of sons. And his daughter was married to Agastya Muni. And after the marriage of the daughter, the king, Malayadvaj, decided to abdicate the throne in favor of his seven sons and retire to the forest. And just like any chaste wife, Queen Vaidarbhi also followed her husband into the forest. In the forest, Malayadvaj underwent severe austerities, trying to control his senses, his mind, his consciousness, trying to focus his mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in this way, for 100 years of the demigods, King Malayadvaj practiced Krishna consciousness. And throughout this period, his wife was serving him, completely fixed up in the service of her husband. And in the process, she became very thin, very lean. And finally, the time came when King Malayadvaj left this planet. And we have come now to that stage where King Malayadvaj's body is lying in the forest, and Queen Vaidarbhi is lamenting the departure of her husband. Every chaste woman sincerely prays at all times, 24 hours of the day, that she should be leaving her body before her husband. Because she knows that without her husband, she is completely unprotected. Because the condition of a woman in this material world, particularly in Kali Yuga, is so pathetic. Unless she has taken the shelter of a person throughout our life. So we see that the scriptures enjoin that from her birth, a woman has to be sheltered by her father, and then after she is married, she has to be sheltered by her husband. And then after the husband leaves this planet, then she has to be sheltered by her sons, till she in turn leaves her planet. But the person who is a husband, in fact, she knows much more than her own sons. So she places a greater amount of confidence in her husband than in her own sons. So although we see over here, King Maladwaj had 7 sons, the queen, at the time when the king went into the forest, she preferred to accompany her husband to the forest rather than stay in the comfort of the palace. She was a queen who was accustomed to so many comforts, and she gave up all that just in order to follow her husband to the forest. And in the forest she underwent so much austerities, and 100 years of the demigods, which actually means 18,000 years, because one day of the demigods is equal to 6 months of ours. So for 18,000 years she was steadfastly serving her husband in the forest, completely relinquishing her material happiness. And then now, what she had been praying for, that is, that she should leave the body before her husband, did not happen. And by the will of Providence, her husband went back home to Godhead before her, and she was here now in the forest. So in order to ensure that she always is able to serve her husband right till she departs from this planet, a woman does so much of austerities even today in this age of Kali Yuga. For example, in South India, from where I come from, there are so many festivals that are particularly carried out for the welfare of the husband. Yeah. I remember there's a particular festival called Nomb. This is a festival that we celebrate in South India. And the woman, the mother, she prepares so many delicacies for the pleasure of her husband. Of course, first she offers it to her lord, and then after that to her husband. And then that is the time when she changes her thread that she wears around her neck, to which the sumangali is attached. This is the significance that she's a married lady. So actually it is a small piece of gold, a very flat piece of gold, in which there will be a small inscription of a shivling. So this is standard in South India. So once in a year she changes that sumangali thread. She makes it yellow the previous day. She applies turmeric to it, soaks it in water. With the consciousness that so long as this thread is there on her throat in an intact form, her husband would be safe. So much. Continuously she is looking at that thread and she meditates on her husband's longevity. And similarly we have in North India this festival of Karwa Chauth, which is nothing but a festival to ensure that the husband has a long life. So all this is only meant to focus a woman's mind on her husband and ensure that she leaves her body before the husband. And in any case, in case she leaves the body before her husband, she is actually glorified. There is so much of feasting that is actually done when a woman dies as a sumangali. Sumangali means husband is still alive when she leaves her body. And this is the aspiration that every woman has. So Queen Vaidarbhi was also such a woman, but unfortunately by the will of Providence she is put in such a situation. And Srila Prabhupada over here gives this beautiful purport, and he compares Queen Vaidarbhi to a disciple of a spiritual master. And the scriptures enjoin that a spiritual master's disciple, for the disciple he is the father. So the biological father doesn't play any role once we take on a spiritual master in our life. And a spiritual master not only takes on the position of a father, but he also connects us to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is our Supreme Father. So when the Supreme Master leaves this planet, it is a matter of such great distress. Because that person to whom we have been so much connected and to whom we owe our spiritual life, who has established our connection to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, if he is no longer there in the planet directly in front of us, there is so much of distress. And yesterday Dwarkadish Prabhu was so emotionally explaining the position of a disciple when a spiritual master leaves a planet. But here Prabhupada goes one step further in order to tell us that of course we need to be attached to the spiritual master, that is but natural, but it is more important for us to be attached to the instructions of the spiritual master. And Srila Prabhupada says over here that even after the spiritual master leaves the planet, actually the spiritual master and the disciple are never separated, because the spiritual master always keeps company with the disciple as long as the disciple strictly follows the instructions of the spiritual master. Yeah. And we see in the scriptures, there are so many instances that just by following the instructions of the spiritual master, the disciple has perfected his life. One very classic example is that of Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj was a Kshatriya, and when he was 5 years old, he was insulted by his stepmother, Suruchi. And then he saw that his father, Uttanapad, is not going to help him. And then he ran towards his mother. And then he asked his mother, "What do I do now?" So his mother took on the role of a spiritual master and gave him that instruction through which he perfected his life. So we see over here that we have different types of spiritual masters. We have the spiritual master who initiates us, who is the Diksha spiritual master. And we have the Siksha spiritual master. We have the Patapadarshak spiritual master who brings us to Krishna consciousness and so on. But the Diksha spiritual master's role of course is prominent in our spiritual life. But along with that, we also have to take on instructions from our Siksha gurus. And Suniti took on the role of his Siksha guru and told him that the only person who can help you now is Narayan. And then Dhruva Maharaj asked Suniti, "Where can I find Narayan?" So Suniti said, "The only place where Narayan is available, where he reveals himself to everybody, is in the forest. So my dear Dhruva, you please go to the forest and meditate on him, and I'm sure he'll be able to guide you and reveal to you what you need to do." And immediately Dhruva Maharaj, without a moment's hesitation, left the palace and departed towards the forest, where he actually met his spiritual master Narad Muni, who instructed him in this mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And then we all know, for 6 months he carried on such austerities that Narayan was forced to come in front of him. So Dhruva Maharaj is a classic example of a person that took the instructions of his spiritual master, his mother, sincerely and seriously. And finally, when he left his planet, at the time when he was boarding the airplane, he made sure that his mother was there already getting into the airplane. He found out what happened to his mother. So he was so concerned about his spiritual master. And then we see how this great Acharya from the Vishnu Swami sect, Vilva Mangal, so much attached to a prostitute, Chintamani, that this raging river, he crossed across on a dead body in heavy, heavy rains, just because he was so much attracted to her body. And then he wanted, in order to climb onto her room, he took the help of a snake without realizing that it was a snake. He thought it was a rope. And then when this prostitute, Chintamani, saw Vilva Mangal, she was amazed. So she told him that you have taken the trouble to come all the way in this condition in order to meet me. Just imagine if the same dedication of yours was diverted to the Supreme Personality of God, and you would perfect your life. And just in that one instant, Bilwa Mangal eyes woke up. And then he realized that what this prostitute was telling him was true. And then later on, he was telling everybody that this lady, Chintamani, is actually my spiritual master, because she opened my eyes to reveal to me to whom I should be attached. In fact, the Supreme Master does exactly that. He tells us, be attached to Krishna. He talks to us about Krishna. He lives his life in such an exemplary way that all the time when we look at him, when we hear his voice, we are just reminded of Krishna. That is what the spiritual master does. And that is what he is expected to do. And then one very beautiful story in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where this Ramachandra Khan was so much envious of Haridas Thakur, and then he sent this prostitute to somehow or the other bewilder Haridas Thakur and make him give up his vows. And for 3 days continuously this lady was sitting in front of Haridas Thakur and hearing the holy name being chanted by Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And just in that 3 days, just by looking at the way in which Haridas Thakur was conducting his life, completely detached and not at all enticed, in spite of the fact that this lady was trying to do so much in order to agitate his mind. She was trying to expose parts of her body, trying to stand in various positions, somehow or the other trying to agitate his mind, but Haridas Thakur was so fixed up. So the instructions and this inspiration that the spiritual master gives from his own personal example is such a wonderful inspiration for us to follow. Like they say, action speaks louder than words. So when this prostitute saw Haridas Thakur completely fixed and still chanting his 192 rounds of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra in spite of the fact that she was trying so much to agitate her mind, which great, great yogis like Vishwamitra Muni could not do. Just by the tinkle, hearing the tinkle bells of Menaka, Vishwamitra Muni lost 60,000 years of austerities. And what was the type of austerity that Vishwamitra Muni was doing? In the freezing cold of winter, he would be standing neck deep down in the Ganga, completely immersed in meditation. And in the blazing heat of summer, he would surround himself with fire and then meditate. And thus he did it for not one or two days, for 60,000 years. But just when this Apsara came before him, he completely lost his entire sense of understanding on how he should conduct himself. And here was Haridas Thakur, and within 3 days, this Mataji, she was completely transformed. And then Haridas Thakur gave her that one single instruction and told her. So when she surrendered to him, she asked him, what should I do, Gurudev? He said, just go back home, give up all your ill-gotten wealth, distribute it to the brahmanas, and come back over here wearing just one piece of cloth. Shave your head, and Tulsi Maharani you worship throughout your life. And this one instruction, she took it as a life and soul, and perfected her life. Went home back to Godhead. And finally we have this beautiful story of Mrigari. Such a hunter. The Madhya Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita explains how demoniac Mrigari was, killing animals half. And when Narad Muni approached him, he told him that this is what my father has taught me, this is how I should conduct myself, and I am getting pleasure out of seeing this animal suffering. And then Narad Muni preached to him and told him that what will be the condition of yours in the future. And Mrigari's eyes were opened, and then he asked Narad Muni, what should I do? Narad Muni told him that you practice Krishna consciousness now. And through that process, he perfected his life. Just that single instruction. It was not as if Narad Muni gave his physical presence to Mrigari throughout the period when he became Krishna conscious. No, it was just one instruction. After that, Narad Muni left to carry on his activities of preaching all over the world, all over the universe. So that one instruction, Mrigari took it as his life and soul. So we see, actually, that no doubt we have to be attached to the body of the spiritual master, but how many of us can really be attached to the body of the spiritual master? Because the spiritual master has got its own duties towards his spiritual master of preaching the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he keeps traveling all over the world to preach these glories. And except for very selected people, his personal servants, maybe hardly anybody who really get his physical association. And this we have to accept as a way of life, as a part of reality. And we see from the lives of so many exemplary devotees that really the physical presence of the spiritual master has really not influenced their life significantly. But what has really influenced their life is the instructions of the spiritual master. At the Pune Yatra, we were told by Niranjan Swami that he has not met a spiritual master Srila Prabhupada even once. And today, the entire Russia Yatra is being so wonderfully and so ecstatically being carried on by Niranjan Swami. And 30 years after Srila Prabhupada has departed from the world, whenever Niranjan Swami has to speak about his spiritual master, whom he has not even met once in his life, tears come out of his eyes. So this is the commitment that we need to have, just not to be attached to the body of the spiritual master, but to be attached to the words of the spiritual master. A few weeks back, Yoginath Prabhu was over here in Radha Gopinath temple, and he was also so emotional. Just happened to see Srila Prabhupada once. From what I gathered, he didn't even get an opportunity to speak to Srila Prabhupada. Just once. When they had all gone for the Rath Yatra, if I remember rightly. That's it. And 30 years later, when he is talking about Srila Prabhupada, he is so emotional. He breaks down. So we see from their personal examples that really it is not important for us to be so much attached to the VAPA. Of course, if we get that opportunity to be attached by doing some personal service to the spiritual master, that of course is the perfection of our life. But what is important for us to understand is that it is impossible for us to really be attached to the physical body of the spiritual master if we want our spiritual master to do what his spiritual master has told him to do. Like Dwarkadish Prabhu yesterday was talking about Indradyumna Swami. To what extent Indradyumna Swami would be going in order to reach out to his disciples? We heard yesterday, 3 days traveling in trains in Russia, freezing cold, minus 52 degrees. That's the coldest. Vladivostok is supposed to be the coldest place in the world. Minus 52 degrees. Unbearable temperatures. You can't even go out. And in this freezing temperatures, after 3 days of hectic traveling, Indradyumna Swami comes at 11 o'clock at night. And he is told by one of the daughters of his disciple, that his disciple is on her deathbed, she is about to leave her body, please, you are the spiritual master, it is your duty to go and preach at the time when she is leaving her body. What can he do? And just at the time when he came into the place, there were 50 devotees waiting for him for his association. They had not met the spiritual master for so long. So we need to get association of our spiritual masters. Physical body. What does it matter if the spiritual master is a little bit inconvenienced? How important it is for us to meditate on this particular fact. that we also need to be interested in the spiritual master's welfare, physical welfare. Spiritual master is doing so much for us. I remember, this was way back in 1992, when I had just started coming to the temple and my wife was already quite very much fixed up in Krishna consciousness. And I was telling my wife one day that it looks as if the spiritual masters of ISKCON, they like to travel in cars. And when they come for programs, they would like to travel in cars. If they travel by buses, I'm sure they would never attend any programs. This is why. My wife said, even if he comes on cycle, he will like to attend programs. He's invited. The spiritual master would like to go everywhere and anywhere. There's a faith that a disciple has in the spiritual master, but I hope that someday I'll also have that same faith. But in our endeavor to associate with the spiritual master physically, do we realize how much of effort it's putting on the spiritual master? Day in and day out, just the fact that the spiritual master would be walking in the temple, and then we want to associate with him. So we make it a point to try and catch his attention, catch his eye, pay obeisances to him. So naturally, he is forced to look at you. And just the fact that he is looking at you requires so much of endeavor. Particularly when he is sick. But we are so insensitive. We think that just by the glance of the spiritual master on us, our life is perfected. Our day is made. And this is what we are all the time aspiring for. And you can imagine a spiritual master who's got 10,000 disciples like His Holiness Jayapataka Swami. I don't know how many disciples he's got, but he's got thousands of disciples. If every disciple wants to associate with a spiritual master physically, would it be possible? And in spite of that, yesterday, his disciple Nimai Gaur Prabhu was telling me in Radha Ras Bihari temple that Jayapataka Maharaj, in order to reach out to his disciples, he travels in a manner which is impossible for us to even imagine. Just day before yesterday night, he was at Radha Ras Bihari temple for 2 hours on his way to Dubai. And from Dubai, he'll go to Muscat, he'll go to Oman, Bahrain, all in 4 days. He'll come back to Calcutta. This is the schedule that he told me over the next 15 days. Come back to Calcutta, stay in Mayapur for 1 day, and go to Malaysia. And from Malaysia, he'll go to Singapore and visit a couple of other countries over there. In 4 days, come back to Bombay, go to Bangalore. And he was telling me this as if it is a routine. And I'm sure this is a routine of Jayapataka Swami. So the spiritual master here is trying to do so much in order to reach out to his disciples. So, just so that he can give them that little bit of association. But we have to understand the value just of that particular association when the spiritual master comes and gives a Bhagavatam class to us. From the bottom of our heart, we should be so grateful that here he has extended himself traveling. Like His Holiness Devamrita Swami was telling us that by this international flights, traveling through different time zones, jet lag, what can it do to you? I remember in the year 2000 when I used to travel to Germany once in a month, for 3 days after I came back from Germany, I would be flat. Completely not able to do anything because just 5 hours of jet lag. And here you have a spiritual master's crisscrossing the globe 3-4 times a year. And in addition to that, what we want to do? We want to reach out to our spiritual master and request him that please you come to my house. Please come and bless our deities. Today is my birthday. Today is my appearance day. Today is my this day. Today is my that day. And if the spiritual master is going to reach out to 1700 or 2000 of his disciples on their appearance day, on their birthdays, we can understand what is going to be the condition of a spiritual master. So Srila Prabhupada, when he says over here that you have to be attached to the Vapu of the to the one ear, the spiritual master, he, in fact, he is protecting all his disciples actually. He is trying to protect actually all his disciples and himself also. Because this is our mental conditioning. We think that unless and until we associate with our spiritual master in person, we are not able to make advancement in our spiritual life. But you see from the life of Niranjan Swami, you see from the life of Yoginath Prabhu, and I'm sure there'll be hundreds of such disciples of Srila Prabhupada. I met one disciple of Srila Prabhupada who was initiated by Srila Prabhupada on the mail. He was given a letter, this is your initiated name, and he didn't even meet his spiritual master even once. And 30 years later, he is still practicing Krishna consciousness so wonderfully. And we think that every time the spiritual master is in the country, we have to invite our spiritual master to our house for prasadam. Because without that, our life is not perfect. The scriptures enjoin that sannyasi should be coming to our house for prasadam. Yes, so we invite our spiritual master and give him so much of the trouble. The physical endeavor just to come to our house and eat the food that he is not supposed to be eating. He is forbidden all those food that he is eating, and he eats it so wonderfully, as if these preparations were the only preparations that have only that been given to him in his whole life. So enthusiastically he is ordering the prasadam just to make us happy. But we have to question ourselves, is this really what pleases the spiritual master? Is this what really pleases Krishna? Because in the ultimate analysis, the whole process of Krishna consciousness is to please Krishna. And if by the process of our practicing Krishna consciousness, we are going to be actually inconveniencing our spiritual master physically by making him do all these things what we are inviting him to do. On our appearance day, going and taking, yes, heart of hearts, the spiritual master's blessings are always with us. We don't have to go and ask the spiritual master specifically, yes, today is my appearance day, please bless me, please put your hand on my head and touch me. Then my whole year, till the next year. We don't have to do that. What pleases the spiritual master is not your physical presence. Tushta Krishna Prabhu asked Srila Prabhupada on their morning walk in San Francisco, Prabhupada, what is it that pleases you the most? Srila Prabhupada said, some disciple of mine follows my instructions, that is what pleases me the most. And not that he is there always all the time standing before me and bowing down to me, paying his obeisances to me and requesting me to come to his house and asking me to honor his prasadam. This is not what pleases the spiritual master. Maybe it pleases the spiritual master, we don't know. I mean, sorry, I can't be stepping into the shoes of my spiritual master. But as a disciple, it is our duty to understand to what extent are we inconveniencing our spiritual master by making him go through all this. And just by following his instructions, if we do that, then the spiritual master is pleased. Are we trying to follow the four regulative principles strictly? Are we trying to chant the holy names properly? Are we trying to associate with his disciples or with the servants of Lord Krishna in the mood of servant of the servant of the servant? Are we doing that? We should inquire with our Paramatma situated in our heart. If we are doing that properly, then the spiritual master is pleased. Because obviously the Paramatma situated in the heart, he is going to reveal to the spiritual master, why are we requiring, or why are we thinking that we need to be there in front of the spiritual master all the time paying obeisances to him? Then only the spiritual master thinks, yes, here is a wonderful disciple of mine. He is doing such great service all the time in front of my presence. Why are we thinking like this? There is no need. So the Prabhupada says over here, be attached to the Vani, don't be attached to the Vapu. Because the Vapu, the spiritual master, one day or the other is going to depart from this planet. As Dwarkadish Prabhu was saying yesterday, if we are fortunate, we can be leaving this planet before our spiritual master. But not everybody can be fortunate like that. So we have to be also prepared for the eventuality that one day the spiritual master will leave this planet before us. And if that happens and we are more attached to the Vapu than the Vani, then our spiritual life is in a very dangerous situation. So we have to introspect within ourselves. What is it that we really need to be attached to? So the acharyas tell us, be attached to the money, be attached to the instructions, be attached to the instructions of the previous acharyas. And through that, all the mercy of the Supreme Personality of God and all the acharyas will flow down to you. There is nothing that you will ever lack. As Srila Prabhupada would say, you will please me by the way you will cooperate with each other. Spiritual master is giving very specific instructions, and that itself we are finding it so difficult to do. Because when we say cooperate, when Srila Prabhupada said cooperate with each other, it means that we should try and be in the mood of Gopi Bharator Padakamalayor Das 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 Anudas. That is the mood in which we have to be. Because only in that situation can we cooperate with each other. And Srila Prabhupada said, this is what pleases me the most. You will please me by the way you cooperate with each other. So if we are genuinely, from the bottom of our heart, trying to be a servant, servant of the servant of the servant of the servants of Srila Prabhupada, that is what pleases Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada is here sitting right in front of us, seeing whether we are really trying to practice that particular aspect of Krishna consciousness or not. And if you are doing that, then what does it matter whether the spiritual master is physically in your presence or not? In one of the disappearance lectures of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, where Srila Prabhupada was making his offering to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in Los Angeles. I was just reading that beautiful thing in the Veda base yesterday. And of course, last disappearance day, we heard it over here. Srila Prabhupada was talking about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. How many times has he actually met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur? The first time he met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he gave him this instruction. You appear to be an intelligent person. I want you to go and preach the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the English language to the Western world. The first time that he met along with Narendra Nath, this was the instruction that he received in the year 1922 when he was just 26 years. And Srila Prabhupada said in that offering that I was defeated by my spiritual master. I told my spiritual master that actually this is not the time. India has to be free. Then everything will become very peaceful and then we can spread this message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And my spiritual master said that politics will keep on coming and going. There will be one politician today, one politician tomorrow. But Krishna consciousness, what the world lacks today is actually Krishna consciousness. And then Srila Prabhupada said that I took initiation in the year 1933. And then in the year 1936, he wrote this beautiful letter on the 9th, Srila Prabhupada is not able to remember, 9th or 10th of December, 1936. He wrote this letter to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, telling Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that I am not as fortunate as your brahmacharis or your sannyasis who have your association. They are so fortunate that they have your direct association and they get the instructions directly from you. I am a householder. I am of no service to you. Except that sometimes I make a contribution. But other than that, I'm of no use. Please instruct me, Gurudev, what I should do. And this was just 15-20 days before Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur departed from this world on 31st of December 1936. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada wrote to our Prabhupada, Bhaktivedanta Swami, saying that, please preach the message of Krishna consciousness to the whole world in the English language. Srila Prabhupada said the same instruction what Srila Prabhupada gave me in 1922, he reiterated once again in 1936. And he said that in all his humility, that I am trying now to follow these instructions of my spiritual master. In a little way, in an insignificant way, we have also printed some books. By the time millions of books are already distributed, we have printed some books. And you are the representatives of my spiritual master.
And then Srila Prabhupada broke down. Started to cry. 40 years after his spiritual master has left this planet, just the thought what his spiritual master had given him by in terms of instructions, by his vani, was so forceful that it was there in the heart of Srila Prabhupada, reaching out to him and telling him and what he should do. And today, his disciples, 30 years after Srila, practically, 1977, 27 years after Srila Prabhupada has departed from this planet, they are carrying on by the instructions of Srila Prabhupada. Where are they having the Vapu of the spiritual master now? How are they practicing Krishna consciousness now? And most of these preachers hardly had any association with Srila Prabhupada. Except for some very, very fortunate few. Like Hari Saurabh Prabhu, Giriraj Swami, Tamal Krishna Goswami. These were the devotees who were directly in the association of Srila Prabhupada and who today are still continuing in the movement. But majority of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada who are preaching today all over the world have hardly had any association. But 30 years down the line, the instructions of Srila Prabhupada are still ringing in their ears. So maybe if we are supremely fortunate, we will leave our body before the spiritual master. But if not, we have to be acutely conscious of the fact that we have to be attached to his instructions. Make his instructions your life and soul. Practice Krishna consciousness in the way he wants you to practice. And not just be attached to inviting him to our house for prasadam. To always being in his association physically. To walking along with him when he goes for walks. These are really not the things that we should be so much attached to. Because there is always a danger that too much intense association with the Vapu, the spiritual master, could be detrimental to our spiritual life. We have to be aware of this also. Because then, there is a possibility that we can think that the spiritual master is an ordinary human being, which itself is such a great offense. That will be never forgiven by Krishna. To even consider that the spiritual master is an ordinary human being. Because that is material conditioning. We like to think that way. And it gradually seeps into our consciousness that the spiritual master is an ordinary human being. And then we are in a very dangerous situation. Our fall down is imminent. Are there any comments or questions?
Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.